Moncrief on News Talk.
In advance of our St. Patrick's Day show, where we reveal Ireland's greatest invention, Simon Tierney joins us once again to run through some of the long-listed contenders. Afternoon, Simon.
Sean, how are you?
So today we're looking at the medical category. And so if someone's scared of needles, there's an Irishman to blame for this.
There really is, yeah. I was taken aback when I discovered this, because this is something that is administered millions of times a day, syringes around the world. And it all started down the road from us here, from Marconi House, near Portobello in the Meath Hospital, now decommissioned on Heytesbury Street. And it was a gentleman by the name of Dr. Francis Rind in the mid-19th century, Sean. In fact, it'll be the bicentennial in about 19 or 20 years' time. What he did was, The Meath Hospital at that time, Sean, it was a kind of an experimental place. It was a hotbed of medical ingenuity, really. And until he came along with his needle, the way drugs were administered was it was done orally. Hmm. So, for example, if someone was to be given morphine, it was done either in pill form or in a kind of a solution.
Yeah.
Now, there had been attempts to do hypodermic, intravenous, subcutaneous, whatever way you describe it, administering in the past. It wasn't a new idea, but it had never been done safely. Like, let me give you an example.
Oh, dear.
Christopher Wren, the famous architect of St. Paul's Cathedral, various places like that. He was also a physician on the side. Sure, why not? And in, I think, the 1650s, he tried to do this, and he used a goose quill as the needle. Sanitized,
yes,
no doubt,
of course,
alcohol.
Yes, yeah.
And as a plunger for the syringe, he used a pig's bladder, actually, which he kind of held between his elbow and his torso.
Oh,
to kind of
like
squeeze
playing
it.
The bagpipes.
Like playing
almost.
The bagpipes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, good analogy. And he used this contraption to administer opium into his dog.
As you do.
We don't know what.
How the dog enjoyed the experience at all.
So this is the kind of level that Francis Rind was dealing with. He came up with this contraption. So he had a cannula, which was this metal needle or tube, really, because obviously it had to have a space in the middle. And then the trocar, the part that cuts into the dermis, this kind of pen-shaped needle, on top of the cannula. Now, there was no plunger. That came later. So the first syringes, they weren't really syringes. Dr. Rind's contraption worked through gravity, really.
Okay.
So he had a patient that came into him, this woman, 59-year-old woman. She was suffering with intense neuralgia. So this is this kind of nervous ends in your face. Very, very painful. And he tried to give her a morphine solution. Didn't work. And the attempt, the ambition of him and his colleagues in the Meath Hospital was, is there a way to deliver medicine directly to the site of the pain rather than going in this roundabout way where you take a solution? So he cut into the skin using this, held it up so that gravity did its work, and very, very slowly the liquid transferred under the skin into her face. Now, he wrote it up. So we know what happened next. And he said in the Dublin Medical Press, Sean, he said, on the 3rd of June, a solution of morphia dissolved in creosote was introduced, and in the space of a minute, all pain had ceased and she slept better that night than she had for months.
My word. And so then from that point on, after it had been written up, then did it become common practice?
It did, indeed, especially after 1851, when a Scottish colleague developed this plunger system. And then they had glass syringes right up until the 1940s, 50s. That's when the disposable syringe. I mean, can you imagine nowadays using a syringe that had already been used by someone else? It's kind of unthinkable.
Yeah.
We live in such a disposable culture when it comes to medicine, just like everything else. But that came much later.
And a lot of people listening will never heard of Francis Rind.
No, I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he wins, if he comes first in Ireland's greatest invention. I think that he deserves at least a plaque or a statue in this city for his, I mean, a truly international contribution to medicine.
Absolutely. Right. OK, so our second person, Dorothy Stopford Price, this is a kind of almost like a story we've had a million times before in different arenas. Somebody has to fight the bishops just to make life better for people.
Yeah, it's an extraordinary story, Sean. Dorothy Stopford Price, she was a pioneer of public health policy in this country. And as is often the case, as you mentioned, the Catholic Church got in the way. When we think of the fight against tuberculosis in this country, people will, and indeed your listeners will probably think of Noel Brown, who was, a brilliant disruptor in medicine in this country, and drew the wrath of the Catholic Church for his work on access to medicine for women and children in particular. But Dorothy Stopford Price, she was an interesting character because she was the one who actually went and found the BCG vaccine being used in Central and Northern Europe, Austria, Scandinavian countries. And she was the first person to bring it back here and to trial it in St. Olton's Hospital, yet another hospital that is no longer with us. The St. Olton's Hospital for Infants was on Charlemont Street, again, very close to us here near Portobello. And when she arrived there after graduating from medicine in Trinity and a spell as the IRA's medical officer in County Cork, which is quite funny, we'll get to that in a moment. But she discovered that a huge amount of the children in her care, of course, were dying from tuberculosis. Now, I had a quick look before I came in, Sean, at the stats on this. It's extraordinary. The one that I could get is 1920. In 1920 in Ireland, 7,651 people died from tuberculosis. It's an extraordinary figure of people.
Yeah. I mean,
it's pandemic level, you know, or epidemic rather. So something had to be done. And she pioneered the BCG here. Now, you and I have the BCG.
Yeah.
Those three little marks on the top of your left arm, just below your shoulder. My children don't have it. It was discontinued as a universal vaccine by the HSE in 2015. You can...
As recently as that.
As recently as that.
Yeah.
It was in the Dáil last May. Somebody brought it up to the Minister for Health. And there is a recommendation now to bring it back on a selective basis for certain groups of people. But it certainly isn't here as it, because it's kind of, in a way, it's been dealt with.
Yeah.
It's a low-risk country for TB now. But a lot of that comes back to Dorothy Stopford Price. It's interesting, Sean, because when she introduced it at St. Olton's, she sought the consent of the parents,
yeah,
which is something that has been controversial in the past in medical trials in this country, which we're all very aware of. She always sought the consent of parents to do trials on vaccines. I mean, you can imagine how controversial this was at
sure.
the time.
Yeah.
And on top of that, she tried to set up this thing called the Anti-Tuberculosis League. That wasn't unusual in itself. Every country in Europe had such a platform to try and push for changes to public health policy. But this is where the Catholic Church came in. And John Charles McQuaid, well documented, of course, for his opposition to many things, the Archbishop of Dublin in the mid-century, he really opposed the Anti-Tuberculosis League because there were too many Protestants in controlling positions on the board, which included, of course, Dorothy Stopford Price. Now, with a name like that, you won't be surprised to discover that she was a middle-class Irish Protestant who lived in considerable, status and wealth here in Dublin. And despite that, Noel Brown, who I mentioned at the beginning, who was the Minister for Health in the late 1940s, he forged ahead and he appointed her the head of the mass vaccination program against tuberculosis in 1949 as it was rolled out across this country. And that was her that did that.
Yeah. And but in between all that or before a lot of that, she was down in Cork working for the IRA.
Yeah. It's an extraordinary thing. I mean, she certainly wasn't the first Protestant. You know, there was plenty of other Protestant women, Constance Markovich and all the rest, who were Irish revolutionaries. I wouldn't describe Stopford Price as a revolutionary, but she certainly sympathised in that area. A really complex character. And I think it goes to show, perhaps, that Irish ingenuity came in all sorts of colours. A really interesting one, I think.
Another person who wasn't publicly commemorated, I would think. And
certainly not.
When we talk about the paucity of statues that have women who've had a significant role in our history, there's another example. You can vote now for what you believe is Ireland's greatest invention. You can log on to newstalk.com. IGI for Ireland's greatest invention. Simon's programme takes place on Patrick's Day at 1 p.m. when the winners will be revealed and discussed with a panel of guests. Simon, thanks a million.
Thanks, Sean.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.